William Shakespeare. He wrote a lot of stuff. He also wrote a play called Henry IV. And in that play, the Welsh rebel Glendower is sparring with his cousin Henry Percy, who was nicknamed Hotspur. And in that dialogue, there's a wonderful scene. Glendower claims, "I can call spirits from the vasty deep." And Hotspur responds, "Why, so can I, sir, or so can any man. But will they come when I do call for them?" And that is the question we're going to examine tonight on Crystal Silence League, our mediumship communication with the spirits for those who pass beyond. I'm John St. Germain. This is Crystal Silence League Hour. Thanks for joining us tonight when our topic is mediumship, the ins and outs of it, the nuts and bolts. We're going to sit back for just a moment. We're in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're under about 6 inches of snow now. There's a lot of noise on the phone lines, so if it's a little noisy, please forgive us. That's the will of nature. I have nothing to do with it. We're broadcasting live from Chateau St. Germain, very nicely barricaded with snow here. Have a crackling fire in the fireplace. The cats are snuggled next to it. I hope you're snuggled next to a warm place with a person of your choice, a canine, a feline, or even an iguana. Let's enjoy a short musical interlude while you gather your tools of divination, and we'll be right back. I'm back. I hope you missed me. This is the Crystal Silence League Hour, and as many of you know, and maybe some of you don't, the Crystal Silence League was founded sometime around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlin. And the purpose of it, it was his vision to pass prayer and positive affirmation for those who need it. He mainly taught the projective and receptive techniques. He projected prayer and positive affirmation for those who needed it, and it was his idea that he would project this by himself, and when he passed into the afterlife, his vision died with him. But a few years ago, some spiritual adepts brought it back, and instead of relying on one supremely gifted sender who rose at dawn's earliest crack and sent his prayers to all who requested them, the members of the Independent Missionary Spiritual Church decided to let many people do this and created a worldwide web of prayer. You pray for me, I pray for you. And of course, spiritual prayer is always free. If you go to www.crystalsilenceleague.org, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, you can post a prayer petition, and thousands of people will pray for you. We also have a newsletter to which you can subscribe to, and we at this point have thousands of people subscribing to that too. I edit that newsletter. It would do me a great personal favor if you read that. We do teach the projective and receptive techniques. We teach the transformative and the mediumship techniques as well in that newsletter. We have a couple of small books written by Mr. Conlin, Personal Lessons, Codes and Instructions, and Lessons in Crystal Gazing, which we do draw upon in teaching these things. Well, tonight we're going to look at spiritualism. We're going to look at mediumship. And some of the techniques that will help you along that path of learning this rather difficult and controversial technique. It is my, it's our custom to begin this with selecting a few prayers from the Crystal Silence League website and read those on the air. I only identify them by prayer number and by initials in case there are people who want to keep these private, although they do post them on the World Wide Web. So let's begin. Let's read some of these prayers. The first prayer is prayer ID number 35258 MKD, who prays for removal of curses and all evil magic and to have healing. May this happen. May she be removed and uncrossed of all evil influences, and may she be healed. Prayer ID number 35257 SD, who wishes for the eternal love of her beloved boyfriend, and may her relationship and his relationship be filled with love and compassion and passionate desire for each other. May that happen. Prayer ID number 35256 MD, needs miracle money for the electricity bill. May she be given $178 to pay the electricity bill so her energy won't be cut off. Prayer ID number 35255 needs for L to stop ignoring her, and please pray that he'll talk to her daily and respond to her messages. Prayer ID number 35254 AL needs prayer for her and her parents for spiritual happiness and health. Prayer ID number 35253 AM has a trouble making coworker, which is causing conflict and division to the team. May this coworker be healed or put out of the situation altogether. Prayer ID number 35252 SS, praying for finances, praying for peace in the finances, and needs finance to pay her tuition in school. We have prayer ID number 35251 JMK, needs boost to his self-esteem and to learn to relate well with people. May his self-esteem raise. May he use the projective technique to do that. It will help him immensely. Prayer ID number 35250KR needs prayers for herself, for family finances, and for a court case. Needs that to be ruled in her favor 100%. We have prayer ID number ASAS, prayer for unconditional love for her and also for employment. We have prayer ID number 35248 TD, needs reconciliation for the relationship and wants marriage to be the ultimate goal in this relationship. Prayer ID number 35247 AR, needs a scholarship so he can afford the studies and work part-time and finish school. We have prayer ID number 35246 NQ, prays that her husband receives the scholarship and acceptance into the university. We have very ambitious people this time. Prayer ID number 35245 JR, cries out for forgiveness, forgive all the sins, and wants deliverance from the devil's bondage to ugly thoughts, wants his mind to take complete control of himself, and wants healing in the relationship between the family. The family needs healing. May the healing occur in the family. May all good spirits go to this family and heal them of all the things that are going on. May this receive special prayer. Prayer ID number 35244 EB wants prayer. This person has endometriosis and endometrial ovarian cysts. Please pray for her. Prayer ID number 35243 WK prays that her man Yet Y will open up to her wholeheartedly and resists her love no more. Prayer ID number 35242 LJ prays that he be blessed and let God's will be done in his life, and give him the discernment to know his will and follow his will for life. Just coming off a bad relationship and is very depressed, so may his spirits be lifted. Prayer ID number 35241 AS prays that the divorce goes into her favor. And this is the end of the prayers, apparently, that I printed out. And so may the will of the Great Spirits be done, May these people be healed. May their prayers be granted. And send them all your best wishes, all your positive thoughts, all your positive affirmations. And may it be so. Well, tonight we have a wonderful topic. We have mediumship. And isn't this just a wonderful thing these days? When I was quite young, spirit mediums were not that common. Now that they pop out of the woodwork, you can't leave your home without bumping elbows with spirit mediums, and so they're pretty much everywhere. But are they? I can call spirits from the vasty deep. Why, so can I, or so can any man. But will they come when you do call for them? I'm going to tell you that it's a difficult skill to develop, and you have to ask yourself a question if you want to develop spirit mediumship. Do you have the abilities? Now, if you are a natural medium, you probably don't need any help. Spirits have revealed themselves to you. It seems that spirits love to reveal themselves to people who are natural mediums. And you start seeing spirits when you're quite young. And you tell people about it. And if you're in a compassionate environment, people say, oh, yes, you're seeing spirits, dear. And if you're not, they take you to the psychiatrist and they put you on SSRIs or something. So let's say you're not a natural medium and you're interested in developing these skills. How do you go about doing it? Now, this is a very important question, a very important question. How do you go about developing mediumistic skills? Because there's a difference between psychic skills and mediumistic skills. Doing a psychic reading is not the same thing as doing a mediumistic reading, and it's very important that you know that. And we're going to get into that in a minute. I've made it my custom to begin our show with the Stone of the Week so I don't forget about it, and I don't have 3 minutes at the end. So let's discuss our Stone of the Week. And our Stone of the Week this week is none other than that super stone, calcite. And I love calcite because it's just an all-purpose stone, and it can be used for so many different things. The calcite, people in chat room have gone into a celebratory frenzy. The Stone of the Week, yay! I'll tell you that the Native Americans have always considered calcite a holy stone that was given to them by the gods. Calcite comes in all different colors. It can be used in many different healing situations. I will tell you that calcite can be transparent. It can be clear, green, pink, orange, blue, salmon, white, all different colors. And it has a unique optical quality of double refraction. If you draw a line on a piece of paper and you put the piece of calcite over it, you'll see two lines. Calcite was the original crystal used to split photons during the famous EPR paradox experiment that Einstein used to refute Bohr's quantum theory. So they sent a photon through it, and this will split a photon into two photons traveling at right angles to each other. And if you do something to one of the split photons, it happens instantaneously to the other. It's called phase entanglement, but that's a topic for another story. You know, quantum entanglement, that's another property. But the calcite was the original crystal. Now they use another nonlinear crystal that I can't remember the name of. But since calcite has double refraction, it's used in spells to double the power of the right. And it can be used in doubling spells. So you use it for that purpose. So clear calcite can be used in spirituality rituals. It's very good for a focus during meditation. Pink calcite, of course, can be used in calming and centering and love rituals. Blue calcite, you see, it's more than one stone. You see, you get more than your money's worth. Blue calcite is a very healing stone. It can be used for purification, calming, focusing. Green calcite, of course, is money drawing. You can use it for money drawing and prosperity. Also, green calcite is very good for the heart if you have heart conditions. Orange calcite is a protective stone, and it's an energizing stone. It will help you energize yourself if you're depressed or low on energy. The white salmon, kind of salmon pink stones, which is it's colored with manganese. It has a beneficial effect on body fluids, bile, semen, blood. So it's very good for that. The reddish-brown citrine calcite is very good for your metabolism. So calcite has this wonderful energizing energy. It's almost pure calcium. And you can fragment it. You can pound it into a paste and rub it on your skin and make a poultice from it. You can leave it in water in the sun and make a drink, make a tonic. So it's a very, very versatile stone, the calcite. We enjoy that rock, and they're also inexpensive. You can find them. They're everywhere. You can just find them laying around. Sometimes in ornamental gravel, you can find calcite, and calcite's in ornamental gravel, the white ones, the reddish-brown ones, and mossy green ones, and just pick them up free in ornamental gravel, the stuff that they give you to put in your gardens and aquariums. So they're pretty much everywhere. So that's our stone of the week. Well, let's talk about mediumship. Our good friend and teacher, Mr. Claude Conlon, gives us some hints about developing mediumship. And in our book, Personal Lessons, Codes, and Instructions for Members of the Crystal Silence League, he gives us the 5 rules of success of mediumship. And I'd like to start with that. He says, 1, be absolutely confident. Be expectant, joyous, and filled with a radiant faith. Each day, take a few minutes, morning and night, to develop your aura. Feel the loved ones in the spirit world who are with you. This involves ancestor work that we're going to go into in just a moment. Commune, talk, seek of them the fullness of all your selfless desires. Use a photo, keepsake, or wear something they once had in contact with them. Keep it covered near your crystal when not in use. 2, make a mental photo of the loved ones if you have no other means. See them just as you recall them. If you don't remember their faces and forms, make a mental photo through your intuition and imagination of their ideal selves, or hold before you some object that they once held or knew well. If you desire to, you can call and seek help from great men and women, those you never knew in life, those who helped form your ideals of character, power, success, and achievement. The whole spirit world is open to you, a limitless world of power. And 3, and this is important, keep a record of your spiritual unfoldment. Keep a journal. Write a journal. A blog, if you will. Be sure to note from day to day the new contacts, visions, suggestions, thoughts, plans, strengths, guidance, help, protection, success, and health that comes to you. Express gratitude for each bit of evidence and act upon it with all your forces of mind and body. 4, use all your power to good ends. This is important too, and I'm going to tell you why. He doesn't go into this, but I'm going to tell you why. Never boast, never misuse, never be defiant with any power that may be bestowed upon you. Be led to do good for others. Be ever alert to brighten, uplift, encourage, help onward others. Forget yourself. Attempt great and grand things. Do them for the joy of doing them. Be brave, be humble, be quiet. When you're given blessings, use the crystal to send blessings. Serve nobly. And 5, keep growing in this knowledge and power. Do not turn aside, do not give it up. Year after year, go forward. You shall have spirit power, contact, and guidance without measure. You shall rise to sublime heights. And then later, he goes on to talk about new thought. Root every negative doubt out of your being. Live the positive life. Have faith in yourself, faith in the spirit world. This about using your power to good ends. There is a force that you will build up by living a good and noble life, a selfless life, giving yourself to others, helping others. There is a force you build up by being selfless that builds in and of itself a generator of power, a generator of good and powerful energy upon which you can draw upon, a spiritual force that builds within you that will power. It will be a dynamo of energy that powers your intuition and your spiritual growth. You will find this to be true. Those who act selfishly, those who act only in their own interest, those who act out of need, those who only seek money, power, fame, wealth, possessions, never develop this power. They never do, and you can see it. You can see it. They get their power elsewhere through alcohol, drugs, through using others. They never get this spiritual power. Those who do good for others have a seemingly endless source of vitality, energy, and charisma, and drive. And in order to do the sort of work that you must do to become a spiritual adept. You must have this spinning generator of power within you that you can only develop through doing good and noble work, purifying your intent. And this is not being a money-grubbing materialist. So here we are trying to develop mediumship. And we're taught to do this through the use of the crystal ball in the Crystal Silence League. And earlier on we were learning how to do projection, how we project through the crystal ball and contact other people. And I'm going to tell you that mediumship can be done a couple of ways. I was going to start off with this by talking about the history of spirituality, of spiritualism. And I'm not sure that's not a bad place to start, because you know contact with spirits goes back as far as civilization. The Oracle of Delphi at Mount Parnassus goes back to about 1400 BC. And these, of course, were young ladies, all who were called Pythia, who inhaled the vapors that came out of a volcanic cleft that was believed to be the entrance to the afterlife. And people would come and pour an offering of blood into that cleft. And this site is known. This archaeological site has been found. And there is a huge, it's almost immeasurable, rich soil that is the residue of decayed blood that's been poured in there over centuries. Because the Oracle of Delphi ran from 1400 BC to about 400 AD. So it ran for a long time. Centuries, and people would pour blood in there and then ask the oracle questions. And some of these questions were written on lead tablets and lead foil and rolled up and given to the oracle, who would communicate with the spirits of the dead. And we know about the Witch of Endor and raising up the spirit of Samuel the prophet. So we know 3,000 years, and we know that there was a rise of spiritualism in the 18th and 19th century. So we know that this has been a practice that goes way back. We also know that there's been a lot of people who enter the field who are charlatans. And this field is known more for its charlatans than it is for its practitioners. And so there's a lot of skepticism and doubt. And I think that you have to be careful about people who deceive you, but you also have to be careful not to deceive yourself. You can have an internal dialogue with yourself and think you're communicating with spirits, and you have to be very careful not to fall into that. So we know that we can develop projection techniques with a crystal ball, and we reach out, we project outward, we project ourselves outward, and we make contact. And I want to tell you that mediumship is not necessarily just talking to dead people with your mind. Mediumship is reaching out and contacting the living as well, and that's a good place to start. With your crystal ball firmly in hand, concentrate on someone either in the next room or 100 miles away. Distance is not a factor. And picture them and reach out with your crystal ball. Picture them clearly. And a picture may help. You know, get a photograph of them and try to reach out with your mind. Focus in your mind. Get a picture of them. Put that picture with your crystal ball and use your crystal ball just as you would a projection technique and try to touch that living person and make a connection with them. This is not mind reading. This is not say, hey, think of a number from 1 to 10 and I'll try to tell you what it is. Although, I will tell you, I've set in on experiments with crystal balls where the participants were doing things just like that. They would think of a place and the other participants would connect with them and describe that place or describe a person. Almost with that type of accuracy. I will tell you, I've sat in on sessions that were that good, that were almost like that. Me and three friends sat down, and we would take playing cards from a deck and just put them in front of it, and you know, one of us would look at it, and the other two would concentrate, and many times we could tell what that playing card was without knowing what it was. We could get, we would say it would be black, it's a spade, it's a court card, and a lot of details from it. So it's almost like seeing through the other person's eyes. And if you try this and you get good at it, you will begin to believe that this is possible. You will believe that this is possible. And I've been getting some emails from some of the other blog talk people. I think some of the other radio hosts have been doing this too, challenging me to debate. Some of the atheists and skeptics have been challenging me to debate. And I'm not going to do it because, you know, any dog I had in those fights died back in the 90s. But, you know, they want to debate that, you know, we're all, they call it woo. You know, we're all woo practitioners, that this is all just fantasy and stuff. But I'm not going to do it. But they've never tried. They've never tried this stuff, and so they don't believe in it. They think crystals and auras and healing and psychic stuff is woo. They call it woo. You know, I'm sorry, but you're not respecting me, so you know, I'm not going to go over there. They want to argue, and I don't have time for argument. I have too much to do. So anyway, we woo practitioners sit around looking at our crystal balls and see if you can connect with someone who's alive. And this is a lot easier. It's just a lot easier. You get the feel for it. You develop this clairvoyant ability to touch. And don't try to, again, it's not mind reading. You know, it's not, you know, think of a number and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's more like touching their mind and knowing what they are. How are they? What do they feel? Are they okay? Are they sad? You get a feeling for them. You touch them. You get a feeling for them. Are they okay? What is their state? Are they in danger? Are they safe? How are they feeling? What are they doing? And don't put too much pressure on yourself. And then you get a communication without words. And see, words interfere with reality. Words do not describe reality. This is why we cannot understand reality with words. You see, reality, and this is an important concept, reality are space-time events and how they relate to each other. Space-time events and how they relate to each other. And you cannot separate objects from action because they're space-time events. Objects cannot be separated from their action. And that's exactly what language does. You have nouns and verbs. And you cannot separate noun from verb in reality. In reality, objects cannot be separated from action. You cannot take objects away from time. Objects are space-time events and how they relate to each other. The only language that accurately describes that or comes close to it is mathematics. And so we do not even think about reality accurately because we think in words. We cannot even describe reality accurately. We can experience reality accurately in our minds. So what you're going for is a direct mental connection so that you can feel and experience what the other person is feeling and experiencing. And when you get it, you'll know it. You'll go click and go, oh, my God, and you'll get it. And this is what you practice, and you practice it with the projection of the crystal ball. This is exactly what the projection technique is. You project out feelings and wishes of abundance and joy and healing. You're not projecting a word. You're not going heal, 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 money, money, money. You're projecting the feeling. Going into the silence is experiencing on a spiritual level that thing that you're looking at. When you're going into the silence, you're shutting off the noise of the mind and experiencing directly that spiritual quality on the direct level. That's what it means, going into the silence. There's a lot of writing, the new thought people. They were very specific about that. You know, when you meditate, you're feeling something about the meditation. If you're meditating about goodness or something, you have feelings about it. You either have aversion toward it or happiness toward it, or you're indifferent toward it. But you may not even be experiencing that directly. But when you go into the silence, you are in that state. You shut all dialogue, and you don't have opinions about it. You don't generate opinions about it. You're directly in that state. You shut off all mental dialogue about what you're experiencing and experience directly. You are in it. You're there. You're in it. And that's what you're going for with this. Now, once you communicate with the living, you're ready to start some working with those who have passed on. And I'm going to tell you that probably one of the best way to do this, if not the best, is to start with ancestors, because your ancestors are most likely to help you and least likely to try to harm you. And the way you start working with your ancestors, there are maybe you should start with ancestors that you know at first. You should try to start. There are some people who say you need at least 10 ancestors to if you want to do any significant work. I know you need at least three, and get pictures of them, make an altar for them, and each ancestor, if you start with three, should have a separate place on your altar. Put their pictures. If you have belongings, put that there too, and you need a bowl. And traditionally you use white ceramic bowls, but you can use good ones, and you put food in there. And I know that in many traditions you use rice. In Native Americans, you put corn, grain, rice, and water. And you light candles for your ancestors, and you do this daily. And you talk to your ancestors, and you invite them into your home. You invite them as part of your family life. Now, there's a way you can tell whether you're dealing with your ancestors or trickster spirits. Trickster spirits are impatient. They want things now. They want it now. They pressure you. Beneficial spirits are very patient. They'll wait. And I want to tell you that it usually takes a long time for you to establish contact with ancestral spirits. And I'll be correct. Michelle Jackson's in chat. She can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it does. It can take weeks before you get initial contact with ancestral spirits. And but after a few weeks, you'll find that one of your ancestors will start to speak to you. And you should approach your ancestral spirits with respect. They're usually disposed to you favorably. Now, maybe you had ill feelings. You had arguments and ill feelings toward one of your ancestors. It's a good time to settle that. You should apologize, make peace with them, offer them presents. You should make sure that the spirits that you bring in should. Michelle says you tell people to try it for at least 4 weeks. So that's right. You should be careful about not offending the spirits. Respect their religious beliefs. If you have, don't invite spirits that didn't get along with each other, if at all possible. And let it sit quietly. Let it sit quietly, as I recall, for a while. You got to let it sit quietly before you start activating it. And you activate it through prayer. You pray for your ancestors. You pray for peace and spiritual growth, and you pray that they're happy and at peace and at rest. And usually, after about a week or so of this, you start to invite them to participate in your life, in your household, and you invite them by name. And you call upon them individually to enter your life and household. And then you begin to send them those thoughts and feelings of welcome and love. And eventually, all the effort comes from you. And over time, the spirits begin to comprehend that this relationship is going to be beneficial for them as well. And most spirits are not interested in a brief contact, because it takes a lot of energy for a spirit to contact us. So they want a lasting relationship that's going to be mutually beneficial. Spirits are like us. You know, what's in it for them? And so if you understand that your ancestors, just like us, represent a link to every ancestor before them back to the beginning of time, you understand the type of power that this is, not only for you, but for them. Now, your ancestors may not be the ones that will help you in your work, but they can find spirits for you. They can go hunting spirits for you that can help you in your work. I was very fortunate. My great-grandmother manifested to me shortly after she died, and she was a very powerful psychic woman. She taught me in life, and she taught me in death, and continues to teach me in death. And so she was a very beneficial. We have a very beneficial relationship, and she helps me quite a bit in my work. Now, I want to say right now, although I work with spirits and I communicate with spirits, I am not a spirit medium. That's not what I do. I don't call spirits. I'm not especially of a spirit medium. And I can help people with spiritual work, but that's not my specialty. I'm not a spirit medium. And I'm certainly not an open medium. I can work in that area if I have to, but it's not what I prefer to do. I know a lot about it, but I don't really want to go to it. Now, the spirits of your ancestors may or may not imbibe great wisdom upon you. Some of the conversations can be kind of ordinary. They'll ask you about the family, you know, say, how's Aunt Betty doing? And sometimes the conversations take a long time, too. There's long spaces between them at first. And they'll, you can show them pictures of the family. You'll bring out the photo album and say, yeah, this is your, you know, this is your granddaughter. And this is your, you know, my cousin. And they'll ask, well, how's so-and-so doing? And I remember I have a skull of a Cherokee woman that found its way to me, who lived about 200 years ago, about the time when Dragging Canoe, and she lived about the time Dragging Canoe, and the Cherokees were at war, and trelleteers and these things were happening, and I remember trying to establish contact with her, and the contact I get mostly with her is that she is happy to have a place to stay, that she's happy that she found a family member. I'm of Cherokee descent, and I'm half Cherokee, and that she was happy to find a place to stay. I've never had she won't dialogue with me, but I know that she's welcome. You know, she welcomes. She's glad to be a member of my family, and she is on my temple. She's on my altar with my father, who is a Cherokee, and my grandmother, who is a Cherokee. And, you know, my father is very helpful to me. My father appears to me very vividly, and he died when I was 19, and we had a lot of unfinished business, so he started appearing to me upon my invitation, and we have very, very vivid conversations, and it's a little unsettling because at this point I'm about the same age he was when he died, and he appears to me as a 30-year-old man. So he actually appears to me younger than I am now, but he's still my father. So it's really kind of funny. He's very young and handsome and happy, and you know, I'm kind of gray gray and scraggly, and he's a young and well groomed and handsome man, you know, like he was when I remembered him as a child. And it's just it's just kind of funny. He's giving me dad advice, and I'm like, you know, you look like my son. But it's kind of a turnaround. So once you do your ancestor work, and there's a lot of ways of this, you ask the spirit, you say, is there anything you need? Now, you got to be careful here. Don't promise a spirit something that you don't intend to do. Spirits will sometimes just ask you, yeah, you know, can you get me a smoke? You know, and you can put tobacco on the altar if they like to smoke. Don't give spirits alcohol. That's a mistake I made early on. On your altar, I don't think don't give spirits alcohol. They may have been alcoholic in life. Sometimes this has got to be your discretion. You might be able to give them a little alcohol, but it's very risky. In my family, it's a no-no. I don't give any of my ancestors alcohol. It's very risky. But after you're through with your conversation, it's considered protocol. It's considered courteous to feed the spirit, to give them. To give them a glass of cold water and to put some food, give them bread. Don't feed spirits meat. You don't feed them meat. You feed them bread, and you give them vegetables, and you don't give them food that's been salted. No salt. These are some of the rules. Now, I'll tell you a very handy book if you want. I think Michelle Jackson's working on a book about ancestors. And there's an old classic, and you can get this from our sponsors, Lucky Mojo Curio Company. This was a fairly old book. I think it was written back in the 90s. It's called Communing with the Spirits, The Magical Practice of Necromancy by Martin Coleman. And Michelle says, maybe next year. Now, some of the people say that Catherine says that she uses cordial sometimes, and one guy says a little bit of wine now and again. But I do highly recommend Communing with the Spirits, The Magical Practice of Necromancy by Martin Coleman. This is a very good book if you're going to learn the practice of communicating with spirits. It's a wonderful book for discovering that. Some of the techniques in there. Many of my notes, in fact, I've learned from that. And that's available, of course, from Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Now I believe we should take a break, and I need a little drink of water, and we shall have a word from our sponsor.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. This is the longest-running conjure show on the planet and may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burmeshave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Well, and I am back. There's some warnings that I would like to give out, some provisos when working with spirits. The The question that comes up a lot of times when people ask me about spirit work is, what about demons and stuff, man? Is demonic forces going to get me? And I always have mixed feelings about that. I'm always amused about that. You know, it reminds me of when you see these really really obese guys watching bodybuilders, and they go, I'd like to work out, but I don't want to look like that. I'm like, yeah, in your dreams, man. You know, you got to work to look like a bodybuilder. You know, to look like these guys, you have to work out 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. This is kind of the same way with summoning demons. If you look at the old medieval grimoires, it took months of preparations to summon a demon. You're not going to do it by accident. But there are trickster spirits. You know, there are malevolent spirits, and you know, if you get one of those, on you, then they can work some mischief. So, what you really want to do, is take precautions. Don't plunge into this stuff willy nilly. Now, also, never. And this was drilled in me from an early age, and I've seen this, a lot of experts say not do this. Don't enter a sexual relationship with a spirit. Now, that just seems like common sense, but you know, don't you, that that this happens, and usually it will happen in a dream state or a state of meditation. In deep meditation, sometimes spirits, incubi or succubi, will seduce you. And often in dreams, you'll have lucid dreams, and you'll be seduced at night. It's almost like a form of being hag-ridden. This is a very bad thing. And sometimes, I mean, people tell me this. Like, yeah, I have this dream lover. You know, I have a dream lover. And I say, no, absolutely not. This is a very bad thing. It's a form of possession, in fact, and you don't want to do this. You don't want to enter that. It's a pact, and you don't want to enter that kind of pact. Now, trickster spirits sometimes can pretend to be one of your ancestors or someone that you've summoned from the spirit world, and there are some warning signs. Tricksters want things from you usually, and they demand it, and they're very impatient. And usually, if you have a beneficial spirit working for you, they're more patient. So be very aware of the trickster spirits. Now, there's also some people who are they're more magnetic than others to spirits. There are people who, as soon as they start working with spirits, my God, it's like a crowd. They just start crowding in, and you're trying to speak to your ancestor, and there's a million other spirits. You have to be disciplined. It takes a lot of energy to do this. It takes so much energy to do this. And I talk to a lot of people like that. They're tired all the time. They say, "Oh my God, I'm just so tired." You know, all these people, they just want something from me. And you have to be disciplined. Only communicate with your ancestors one at a time. And all these spirits that want something from you, many of them could be tricksters, many of them could be leeches, spiritual leeches. And remember, you're doing this for a specific purpose. You're not there to save everybody or to help everybody in the spirit world. You're doing this for a specific purpose. You're looking for spirits to work with you and to do specific things with. You know, there's uncountable numbers of spirits. You know, what are you going to do? You can't work with all of them. Now, if you do this successfully, ultimately, your ancestral spirits will network for you, and they will draw to you and introduce you to spirits that will help you develop your practice. you'll have relationships with protective spirits, with spirits that will help you develop further as a sorcerer, as a magician, as a spiritual healer, spirits that can teach you things that you need to know, spirits that can help you with your spell work. Your ancestors can connect you with magical spirits who can look ahead in time and see whether or not you're on the right track, and they will help you with this. It's a win-win situation, and you'll find that you're more attuned with some spirits than others. It's just like in life, you're more, there's more simpatico between you and some people. That's the way it is with spirits, and you also find that the spirits have opinions, just like people do, and you find yourself, and it's a funny thing, you find yourself in an argument with a spirit, or you find yourself in agreement with a spirit. So it's a very interesting thing when you start doing this, and I think you're going to find one of the best spirits you can get. And one of the first spirits you should try to get once you develop your ancestral spirits. And once again, I was very lucky. My main spiritual connection, other than my father, is my great-grandmother, and a divinatory spirit. The classic example, of course, was the Witch of Endor, who called up the spirit of Samuel for King Saul. If you can have a divinatory spirit, this is a spirit who can help you in your divinatory practice. This is what it's called when you're doing readings, when you're spirit-led readings. And if they can help you do your readings are going to take on a much further depth, other than just someone who's just reading the cards on a surface level. You'll have a deeper, your readings will take on a depth and breadth of power that will set you far ahead as a reader than someone who's you're the high priestess. This means you should use your intuition in this situation. Oh, and the hangman, you've been waiting a long time. That's about to come to an end. If you're spirit led, if you have divinatory spirit, your readings will have layers like an onion, and you'll be able to really, really get into a situation and help people. And you'll find that your prosperity and your practice and your ability to help people will grow tremendously. And this is the benefit. This is why it's worth the time and the effort to develop a necromantic practice. Once again, I'm not a spirit medium. I don't work with a lot of spirits. I was very lucky. And I suppose if anybody would like to call and share with us an experience, we have about 6 minutes. And I would like to hear from you if you do have an experience with the spirit world. Because if you don't, I'll tell you mine. And all you have to do is call 657-383-0525 and hit 1, and I'll put you on the air. And if not, I'll just tell you my little story. Well, let's see what we have. My gosh, we have a caller, I believe. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, I've been enjoying the show a lot, and I had a couple of questions for you.
Well, sure.
You mentioned something about uncountable numbers of spirits out there, and this put me in the mind of something I had read in the works of Pascal Beverly Randolph, the great spirit medium of the 19th century, African-American hoodoo practitioner, member of the Freedmen's Bureau, taught literacy to black ex-slaves, and in all ways a very exemplary, interesting person. Mm-hmm. He described baby-making. And I wanted to know if you have ever experienced this, that he described that when people make love, spirits are attracted almost as moths to a flame.
Yes.
And that the spirits of the unborn, never born, may yet be born, also the older spirits who have left life, are attracted to people making love, and that you can actually reach out, especially if the two of you agree, and invite a spirit in at the moment of conception. At the moment of orgasm, conception actually starting when the egg implants. But have you ever experienced this or heard about this or know about this other than through Pascal and Emily Randolph?
Yes, and do you know there's a belief in Buddhism that there are beings called Gobbophas that are beings yet waiting to be born, and that when your mother and your father make love and conception occurs, that the being waiting to be born joins. There's in Buddhism, what's believed to make a sentient being are three things: egg from the mother, seed from the father, and consciousness from a prior being. And that consciousness comes from a Gobbophas, the being waiting to be born. And that in some forms of Buddhism, this is instantaneous, this process, and in some, it can take as long as 40 days between the death of the previous being and the birth of the new being. So that is a doctrine that that exists in many.
Wow. Well, this is real interesting to me, because among the other strange things about Pascal Beverly Randolph was that he was a sailor, and like many of the merchant seamen of the 19th century, they had a lot of black freedmen or free persons of color worked in the maritime industries. It was just one of the things that was a good job open to people. And he had traveled around the world. In his writing, because we think of him as a guy from, the state of Virginia, his mother was a slave, and then she was given her freedom, and he was born, and so forth. But we don't know everything about this man. But he named his one of his children Osiris Buddha. And he talked about having been in India. So now you've just put a whole new thing in my head, because he wasn't reading books on Buddhism necessarily. He actually was in India. That's amazing.
Well, yes, he may have been exposed to that concept, because, in the Metta Karuna Sutta or prayer, may every living being, weak or strong, the long and the small, the short, and the far off, those nearby, those waiting to be born, they're mentioned. Those living, those born, those waiting to be born. So yes, that's a belief that the consciousness has to enter the fertilized egg, because the belief in Buddhism is that consciousness, which is aware, cannot arise from matter, which is inert. The consciousness doesn't arise from inert matter. It's got to arise.
Right.
It's got to pre-exist. And
he had a whole theory that if you wanted a baby, you were supposed to, actually sit together and talk about, no drunkards. He had this whole, you were supposed to, not what you didn't want and what you did want. We'd like a little girl, blah, blah, blah. And you were supposed to talk, and then you were supposed to make love. And then at the moment, just before orgasm, you were supposed to reach out together astrally and bring in
the spirit. Well, what if you did it as an attraction spell? You wrote down all the qualities you wanted in your baby and did it as an attraction spell. Got your crystal ball out and did it as an attraction spell. This is a whole new thing we can...
Yeah. Well, he was also a great crystal scryer. Pascal Beverly Randolph used different mirrors and also stones. He described his favorite scrying glass was actually one that belonged to an Indian Maharaja whom he had met, which was an emerald.
We have 1 minute.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, but thank
you so much.
You've actually opened my eyes to something else, and I'm sure that Michelle Jackson, who's in the chat room, who's also another big fan of Pascal Beverly Randolph, and Nagashiva in the chat room are all going, oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's no surprise that theosophy was influenced by Buddhism and spiritualism was influenced by Buddhism and that the Buddha is everywhere.
I'll let you go. All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Well, it's been another fast-moving show. This is John St. Germain, the Crystal Silence League Hour. Thank you, Catherine. Catherine knows everything about everything, I think. Join us next week for part two of How to Be a Medium, and we'll explore even further. I wish we could extend. Just come back next week.